Go ahead. Make my film.
It's B-Movies, thanks to Mitzi Bar, your source for all things NZIFF, thanks to the best place to go before or after.
Yes, we are here with Andy, who is the...
co-director?
Co-director of Bludgeon.
Would you say
correct.
That
welcome.
There are two of you or three of you?
There's two of us, but one of them lives in Barcelona, so I get to do all the fun things like this around the film while he sits in the sunshine.
Very fun things.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you send him texts saying, curse you, Ryan Heron?
Yeah, we've kind of, we've spent a lot of our nights and mornings talking while the film's getting finished at the moment. So, yeah, we talk and night.
Was he over here for the film, though?
Yeah, so he spends his time sort of halfway between Europe and New Zealand, sort of does summer to summer.
Nice.
And, yeah, I know.
What a way to live.
Yeah, so we shot a lot of it together in New Zealand and then he shot the European part.
So we're telling you specifics about the directors. The one we're talking about who's absent, Ryan Heron, and the one who is currently in the room, Andy Deer. Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
They have made a film which is in this year's New Zealand International Film Festival called Bludgeon. It is a documentary feature, which is a kind of expanded version of a loading dock short you guys made, is that right?
Yeah, so probably, I think it'd be 3 years ago now, we made a loading dock short of the same name, but that was... primarily focused around one character of this team of medieval fighters called Merton. And what we've done now is we've expanded that out and we've followed several members of the team as they travel to Denmark to fight in the World Championships of Medieval Combat.
What the shit is medieval combat?
It's a very good question. It is not to be confused with LARPing, which is...
which they make very
acting,
clear.
They make very,
it's very different.
They make very clear several times. Medieval fighting is where... grown men and women put on authentic medieval armour, often weighing 30 to 40 kgs, and fight each other in with full force and weapons,
real
which are
weapons.
Blunted just, so as not to cut, but
just
still,
to be clear, this is a real thing that really happens in New Zealand.
Yeah, 100%. Very popular, actually.
Yeah,
well, it happens
regional
prior
teams?
To the film. It's actually never. I had never heard of the sport.
Yeah. It's an up-and-coming sport, for sure. It's not as big as... rugby in New Zealand yet, but it attracts a pretty interesting bunch of characters to it. As you would expect, they kind of describe themselves as geeks meet jocks. So they're lovely guys and they're kind of like the Warhammer type Dungeons and Dragons part-time, but also smashing each other with axes full-time as well.
Yeah,
so.
there's some power.
There's some
units smashing each other with great force.
And I think that's something we really wanted to portray was just how violent it actually is. I think people see guys in their park tapping each other with fake swords and things on the weekend, but this is actually pretty...
And they're bowing.
Yeah. And but this is actually pretty gnarly.
So how did you find out about this or get into it? Are you into it yourself?
I'm not a participant myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. We went to school with one of the main characters, who's Merton, and he was always a really interesting character at school, and he's a lovely guy, but always quite unique and into weird little things. And he contacted Ryan and I out of the blue to say he was doing this, and would we be interested in doing some filming around it? So we decided to just go down to the Taranaki one day, and then it just developed, and we met all these other really interesting characters, and we ended up following them to Denmark, and... decided to cut a film together out of it.
Now, you mentioned Denmark. There is medieval armed combat in the film on an international stage. You get to see New Zealand repping itself with bits of armour and swords and meat axes and stuff. Like, this is full on.
Yeah, it's pretty massive when you see how big the international tournament is and the passion that's there. The Kiwi team did really well. I think it's... not so well covered in the film, but they won 2 silver medals in the individual fighting divisions. But in the teams, they really put up a good fight, I think. Well, they're not the hugest team there. Some of the Scandinavian teams have obviously been doing it for, I guess, centuries, to be honest. And as they've often told us, they've got hundreds of years of practicing this sort of fighting. So, but yeah, they hold up for their own. And I think one of our characters, Nick, who goes overseas for the first time, he sort of comes into his own over there and has a pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the armour. So do you think it's developed over time? Because how often are we seeing injuries in these people?
It's a good question. So the armour is all made essentially by themselves. So one of the guys in our film is an armourer. He does a metal work for his full-time job, but in his spare time, and he makes it all himself. And I suppose the weapons and the armour needs to be of time and period, so it needs to look and feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. I put one of the helmets on, and it's really heavy, but you do feel super safe in it. I've been hit by, I don't know what we call an axe or something, and it feels surprisingly safe in there. So I think a lot of the injuries come from it being so heavy and being twisted out of place and falling weirdly. And
possibly concussion?
Yeah, and a lot of, and I'd say a lot of concussions, yeah.
And wearing that kind of armour, it's actually probably quite a safe sport.
They like to say so.
As much as gridiron is a safe sport. Yeah,
exactly. They like to say it's a safe sport, and I think it is reasonably safe, but they often tell the story. There was one guy who got his eye poked out by a sword, but they've modified the rules now. And
it's safe enough.
Yeah, it's safe enough. And actually, in the film, one of the guys takes a pretty bad hit to the back, and they can't feel his legs and things like that. Not to give too much away.
Yeah,
but,
without giving too much away, just the way that event was dealt with made me go, oh, there's a lot of passion for this worldwide. There are people that care about it being done properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Care about it being protected and...
Yeah.
And not taking the mickey. That being said, a lot of this stuff is kind of left of centre with regards to a pastime or a sport. Are there ever parts in the film or when you were making the doco where you're like, oh, I hope they don't think we're taking the piss?
Yeah, I think we tried really hard to be respectful to them in the sport, and they were, and they're our friends now. We spent so much time with them, so you never want to make fun. But I think they're funny guys in themselves, and they're the first to admit that what they do is different. And I think the humour, if there's... We really wanted to make an entertaining film, so that involves, you know, action and drama, but also a bit of humour. And I think the humour, for me, comes from them people just talking so earnestly about something that seems so bizarre to other people. But for us, it's probably not as bizarre as it was when we started out, so maybe that's a bit lost. But, yeah, I think there's laughs in there, and I think the guys will be... They're funny guys, so it's not a cruel thing or a mockery at all.
You do fall in love with them. You show, you give them all a great journey. It's wonderful. Mm. Even the ones at the beginning of the film, you go, oh, I don't know about you, mate.
Yeah.
By the end, you're absolutely in love with every single one.
And that was, that was our goal, to try get you on board with them. And really, and having the watcher really want them to succeed. And I think, for me, a big part of the movie is less about the sport and who they are, but more about that thing of trying to find your team in the world. Mm. You know, like, I feel like so many people we're all getting split away and becoming more of an individual, whereas that feeling of just being in a team is something that's sort of lost.
Which is universal and not necessarily to do with the subject matter at all. Everybody's looking for their team, representing your country and something. It's pretty wonderful through line.
Yeah, and I suppose if you look at the people who are interested in this sport, they probably weren't the super popular sort of jock at school, but they found something that they're really good at and they can be super passionate about. And they, like you say, get to represent their country at it, which is pretty special.
Mm. When you're watching people who are extremely passionate about something, it's easy to find that passion yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Which is awesome.
What's the bloody adaptation quote? When you care deeply about something, it whittles the whole scary world down to a much more manageable size.
Exactly.
That's nice.
That's lovely.
That's nicely done.
Aw, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hey,
so it plays 3 times in the film festival. I have seen it and I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's very Kiwi, but at the same time incredibly universal, just about trying to find your team, find something you're good at, find your place within something. It plays twice on July 25th, both times with a Q&A. It's with yourself and with Ryan?
No, Ryan is not coming home for it, unfortunately, which is a bit of a shame, but that'll be me there to answer all your, you know, very interesting questions.
And potentially...
But I'm sure the film will answer any questions
exactly.
you have.
Exactly. Standalone piece. And potentially some of the stars?
Yeah, there is. We're talking that some of the stars may be there for a small demonstration. We're just working through some health and safety things around that at the moment.
I love it.
Yeah.
So it's going to play twice on the 25th and once on the 24th of July.
And
world premiere is the 24th of July. All 3 screenings will have Q&As, and Tess, I think, has something for the listeners.
We have a very special double pass to give away to the July 24th screening at Events Cinemas on Queen Street, which does include a Q&A as well, and hopefully a demonstration.
Yeah,
which would be cool.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
It may just be me and an axe.
Which is also great.
We'll see.
So that's fine too. If you want those tickets, you can text in to 5395. You can text in axe to 5395.
No question, just the word axe.
No question, just the word axe.
Don't make it too hard.
If we've piqued your interest as well, the trailer for Bludgeon premiered on flix.co.nz. Go and check it out because it tells you a lot of what you need to know, and we'll get your bum on a seat, I guarantee it. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we've got a song that you've picked, which kind of relates to the film.
It does.
Yeah.
What's the reason you picked this song, Childish Gambino's Redbone?
We originally used this song in the film, obviously we couldn't afford to use it for real, to introduce one of our characters, Nick, who's probably one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life.
Oh,
and I think
nice.
It establishes him.
Perfectly. So lovely.
Yeah.
So lovely.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming up.
I think people took that a bit too literally. Axe and your B card number, please. Thank you.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, there's no sting because it's part two.
I just saw a yellow thing on the... that's the end.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, how's it going? What's up?
Hi, what's up? So you watched a movie last night.
Oh, my God.
And how good was it?
It was my favourite thing. It was funny art. It was very, very weird and very good.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Great. So you enjoyed it. So the movie we're talking about is The Green Fog.
The Green Fog. Yeah, it's the latest movie from Guy Maddin, who is a Canadian film director. He's always had like an obsession with old cinema, mostly like really early cinema, like 1930s and before. And his most famous movie, I think it's called The Saddest Music in the World, is all very like, everything's like scratchy and the lighting is very like spotlit, and it looks very old, but is also has lots of weird digital effects. And I don't know, it's very loving towards film.
Oh,
he definitely has a thing. He's got a little thing for film.
That's nice. And this one's based on Vertigo.
This is a kind of a departure a little bit, because it's not like a narrative film that has been shot by someone. It's like a collage where they've recreated Hitchcock's classic film Vertigo. they've recreated Vertigo out of just shots from other movies. And so they're like, there's lots of movies you don't recognize, you've never heard of. And then there's like, you know, there's like The Rock and The Girl from Shanghai. Just loads of movies that are set in San Francisco. Because this is, even though it was made by Guy Maddin and also these, I think they're brothers, Evan Johnson and Galen Johnson. Galen Johnson did the soundtrack, which is really good. Evan Johnson also like co-directed it. They're all Canadian, all those people, and they've made this beautiful love letter to San Francisco. Every so often there'll be like Nicolas Cage's face or there'll be like a bit of an NSYNC music video.
Is Face Off set in San Francisco?
No, not Face. No, it's his face on, Sarah. and so it's really interesting to watch.
Do you think you have to have seen Vertigo to enjoy it?
I think it definitely helps.
Yeah.
For it to have any like semblance of a plot to you, you kind of need to be familiar with what happens in Vertigo, because like basically, so there's not really any dialogue. There's lots of like shot reverse shot, but all of the dialogue is cut apart from like maybe one line every so often. So there's one scene where a woman sits down, she says, "Dancing cowboy." And there's just like shot reverse shot with all the dialogue cut out.
So they've actually cut the shot, so they've removed the sentences but left the bits in between.
Yeah, so it's just lots of like expressions of people looking at each other. And they're in all of like the locations that you will recognize from Vertigo if you know the film Vertigo. And they do Vertigo things. Like there's a long bit where they're driving behind each other in cars.
Yeah.
And there's like clips from other, like some of the cuts are from other Hitchcock films and stuff. It's very, for film nerds, it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Does it like, kind of become the snake eating its own tail? Because Hitchcock's, I don't know, technical and narrative shadow can be felt throughout Western film. So are you then cannibalizing films that took their cues from Vertigo in the first place to remake Vertigo?
Yes, and that's like the whole point. I mean, some of the films are from before Vertigo, quite a few of them, but I think that's like a lot of the point, because I mean, what Vertigo, for those who haven't seen Hitchcock's classic film Vertigo, what Vertigo is about is like, it's about things from the past coming and like haunting you.
Right.
Like that's like a theme in it. But then it's also a movie where essentially the same thing happens twice, but from like different perspectives. Like the first half of the plot and the second half of the plot have very similar physical actions, but they have like, you think about them differently. And it's, oh my God, I had like a weird, wanky, nerd like explosion when I was watching this. And I was just like, oh my God, they're like, it's like a comment on Vertigo. But it's also like, there's lots of like proper weird stuff that I think will be relatably funny art for anyone who hasn't seen Vertigo. Yeah. There's like, just like a voiceover will come in and be like, "Don't remember the things you thought you forgot. Time." Yeah. And there's like a bit with an evil clown. And there's like weird like there's like a sex scene that just has cuts from loads of different awkward sex scenes. Ooh. And there's like a woman with her like high heel on a man's crotch, and then it just pans down his hairy body. It's it's like, okay, so apart from all of like the wanky stuff about how it's like a love letter to cinema and Vertigo and San Francisco, it's also just like very interesting in its own right.
Is it because Vertigo is a thriller, horror thriller?
It's like a psychological suspense.
And correct me if I'm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with not being au fait with your Hitchcock, but Vertigo is notorious for, it's got an icy blonde in it. Hitchcock loves his icy blondes. It's got a Jimmy Stewart in it. Hitchcock loves his Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, fuck, I love Jimmy Stewart. Yeah.
And it's got the notorious trombone shot, which sounds dirty, but it's not.
It's got, because usually the trombone shot's like, wow, but this one is like, whoa, 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 whoa. which is interesting, I thought, in terms of like film language, you know?
This is a dolly whilst zooming in the opposite direction.
Like, yeah, the thing where something like appears to come closer but also move back at the same time.
So it's a really great cinematic shorthand for making you feel quite sick.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I mean, so it's like, I'd say it's probably like between it and like Rear Window, it's probably like the Hitchcock film that people like think of when they think of Hitchcock.
And again, Rear Window, it's another icy blonde and another Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah. But yeah, I think even if you're not, I would say maybe if you've never seen Vertigo, you might want to see it before you watch this movie.
Make it a lot better.
It'll make it make more sense. Yeah. If you don't particularly remember Vertigo, that doesn't really matter. Yeah. You just kind of need to have seen it at some point. And there's like a lot in this movie for people who just are interested in like pop culture and especially cinema. Like the bit where it goes to an NSYNC music video. Mm. And you're like...
Ah, you got me.
You're like... because so they're like... They'll go, okay, this is the bit in Vertigo where they go to the Redwood Forest. There's an NSYNC video where they're in the Redwood Forest. So it like cuts to that between cutting to like a man and a woman like chasing after each other, and then every so often it'll be NSYNC. But then there's all kinds of like other... So like I think Guy Madden films, they most remind me of like that kind of 90s surrealism. Have you seen The City of Lost Children? It's like a weird French movie.
No.
I don't know. That may be a thread that's not going anywhere. But it's like there's lots of like absurd and hilarious things. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I just really, really enjoyed this film. And I think if you are any kind of film nerd,
you'll love it.
You will find it very... I was going to say rewarding. It's mainly just like fun. It's like... Yeah, and it's only an hour long.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's only 65 minutes, isn't it? So that's quite like...
Yeah, I think...
Short.
Because there's basically no dialogue. Mm. It's essentially just like running through the plot of Vertigo in half the time.
Yeah.
It has added a couple of things. There's a weird framing device where a man is pointing a gun at another guy and making him watch the movie that we're watching. and there's also lots of like quite terrible CGI green fog, which is like, it's like good terrible. It's like artistic choice terrible.
Right.
And there is
like PC aesthetic.
And there's lots of like monster attacks in it.
Oh my god. It also sounds like a kind of love letter to San Francisco via all of the films that have been shot there over the ages.
Yeah, it's drooling over San Fran. It gets a bit, there's times when you're like, a bit intimate.
We get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen the pagoda before, actually.
Speaking of, you you picked a track that went with the city.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's that whole kind of like 90s dark, funny, surreal thing that I associate with this director, Guy Madden. I also associate with this band, The Magnetic Fields. And Stephen Merritt is from San Francisco, and the song is about San Francisco. So I thought it would be perfect. You should go see this movie if you like dark, surreal, funny movies.
If you do want to go and see this movie, it's on Saturday, the 21st of July at 3:45 p.m. at...
That's Academy Cinemas.
Cool. At the Academy Cinemas.
Which is by, inside the Auckland Library.
Also, underneath. On the Sunday, 22nd of July at 6:15 at the Academy Theatres, and also
Auckland Waterfront Theatre.
Ah.
Yeah. On Tuesday, the 24th of July,
which
at 9:15.
Got a brand spanking new sound system for last year's film festival. So if you see a film with a good soundtrack there, it's a real treat.
Wonderful. Well, here's Amelia's pick. It's Come Back from San Francisco by The Magnetic Fields.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Oh.
You've been listening to B-Movies, thanks to Mezzo Bar.